Okay, good.
Beautiful. Good. Perfect. In sync. Doing it.
In sync is a great band. Oh my God. Actually,
okay.
That just shook loose a memory. I have a great story to tell you. I was at this antique mall, and sidebar, everything is there is like crazy expensive. But these, they literally had four of the five Best Buy exclusive NSYNC bobblehead dolls. And they were pretty fairly priced. Like individually for the four, it would have cost like $60 to get all of them together because they were like $15 a piece.
I wonder what their actual value is.
I don't know. See, you know, I feel like the answer is worthless because who cares? But
but you know somebody like has those. Like you know somebody has like been looking for those and is collecting shit. Like
maybe, but they also probably already have it.
People, I know, but like people are weird and they collect shit and they collect like memorabilia that you're just like, girl, why?
Yeah.
I mean, not that I don't have weird crap in my house, but it's not like, it's just like rocks I found on the beach, you know? It's not like, oh, I hunted this down. Like, I don't know. It weirds me out sometimes.
I feel like you said that as if that is super normal or super cash. Like, I just have rocks in my house that I found on the beach. Oh. I mean, I guess if you live near a beach.
You mean everybody's house isn't filled with rocks from the beach?
Are you sure they're not rocks? Are you sure they're rocks and not like gum?
Okay, it's not gum. My house is not filled with gum. Thank you. Petrified gum.
Can you imagine?
I'm pretty sure. Like 90% sure.
Anyway, welcome back to the Chan Chan.
To the what? Don't say that as I'm eating a blueberry. I don't know what that means.
Welcome back to the podcast.
The Chan Chan. Sorry.
It's been a while.
It has.
As always, I'm Chad.
I'm Grace. Do we say that anymore?
No, we haven't in a long time, so maybe a good refresher might be helpful.
In case you're wondering, we're Chad and Grace.
Yes, and today this isn't the... I mean, it's definitely not the first time we've done an episode like this on sitcoms, but I think this would technically be the second one of us doing a mashup of these. Or maybe the third. I feel like it's the third in actuality, but in numbering sequence, it is probably number two.
Right. I mean, I feel like this time we're focusing on recent comedies.
Yes.
Right?
Because... yeah, we said that we were going to do this a while ago, but then we're like, oh, let's just wait until all of them are done, and now they're starting to get canceled, so now we should talk about them.
Wait, what got canceled?
Oh, well, Mr. Mayor, but you don't really care about that.
Oh. I mean, I have thoughts. Like, I'm not surprised it got canceled. It's kind of more what I'm saying.
I'm a little surprised because I just thought that Netflix would keep a show with Ted Danson going on for a while.
It's not Netflix.
Not Netflix. Why did I say Netflix?
Oh, NBC. Yeah, I mean, that is surprising. I'm upset. I mean, I just love Bella Lavelle so much. And, like, I want to see her on my screen. And so I am upset that she...
I know. I was actually a little surprised about her being on there just because I was like, Heather?
Oh my God, Heather. I need her to play not a heterosexual character.
It's funny because, I mean, her character kind of came off as that, and then they were like, no, let's go the opposite direction.
That's because Tina Fey is closeted. Anyway.
I thought you were going to say hetero or homophobic.
She is because she's closeted. And I don't mean she's a lesbian. I mean, she's probably bisexual and is working through some things, you know. But she's married to a nice man, and that's
He's married to a nice man.
Me as your lesbian aunt. It's always trying to prove everyone's gay.
So, I mean, we can start with Mr. Mayor since I already said that. And okay. It's been canceled, so we can just run through our thoughts.
Yeah. I love Bella LaBella. Bella called.
Yeah, I thought the first season was funnier than the second season.
I would agree. But it's been a bit since I've seen the first season. It's definitely a show that I, like, kept up with. Like, I do have to say, like, I love a mid-level ensemble comedy. Like, there's nothing more delightful to me, honestly. And it gets me through the day. Like, it's just something to put on when you get home from work. And I really appreciate. And I did think the first season was very.
I thought it was funny that you described it as mid-level because it was very mid. It was.
Yeah.
It was nothing beyond that.
But that's okay. Like, I think there's a place for that on television. And, like, I feel like the fact that, like, we expect every show to be. I don't know. Wow, we're getting into it right away.
I know. I'm. Sorry. Honestly, I think what it is, I'm truly expecting, like, the next Superstore, which I guess that's what What's-His-Face is trying to do with, the hell's that show called? American Auto. But I don't agree.
Okay.
I don't think it's good.
Okay, we can't get to American Auto yet because I'm so angry.
I have opinions.
I feel like Mr. Mayor, like, just was, like, one of those, like, you know, it wasn't, like, amazing, but it was, like, funny and entertaining, and it had, a pretty good cast.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
And it had that, kind of signature Tina Fey, like, voice, where everybody was, you know, very quippy all the time. Like, I don't know, I just, like, I did enjoy it. I don't think it was a bad show by any
means. I agree. I think it was trying. It just wasn't. I really wish that Great News hadn't gotten canceled because it's in the same vein as Great News. But I think Great News was actually better in execution for, honestly, a lot of, I don't know. I feel like a lot of what channels are shooting for right now, that's what that was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn it. We could have had it all.
Was Great News on NBC?
I want to say it was. I
don't even remember. But yeah, and I know. Great News is like one of those shows I'll probably forever be mad about. Along with like Happy Endings.
Yeah, just the one that got away.
Just so much potential. I'm like, this could have had, you know, one more season at least.
Yeah, truly.
And that's kind of how I feel about Mr. Mayor. I'm like, this could have had one more season. There was nothing about it that was like, you know.
Bad, exactly.
Yeah, bad. I don't know. Do you think TV series are like running out of money recently? Because I'm really surprised at like what is being canceled recently.
Yeah, but it also seems like they're dumping the money back into other stranger projects.
Well, and I was reading this thing about, like, Netflix, like, how Netflix is, like, losing money or whatever, and the way that they have been trying to solve it is, like, by getting, you know, the only way they can really make money is, like, new subscribers, so they pour all their money into, like, new shows and cancel old ones because they're like, well, this isn't gaining us any new subscribers. I don't know.
Which is a terrible methodology, I think.
Oh, totally.
Just because I'm like, what? You kind of have to be. The number one thing you really have to think about is like member retention, because you can gain as many people as you want, but if you're not producing the same content that brought the people there in the first place, then what's the point of them sticking around? They're like, right. Oh, I'm just wasting my money on this, so I'm gonna just go buy something else.
Yeah, there's no longevity in it. It's all about like what's what's now, you know, like what's making us money now. I don't know. It's interesting to me. I mean, how many fucking seasons is Stranger Things going to get? You know what I mean?
I know. Luckily, this is the last one, but do you think we should finally loop back around and just do an all-encompassing thing because we lost that one episode?
I want to say yes, but I also feel like I will not watch the last season at all. Like, I have zero interest.
Oh, it's on my calendar. I'm definitely going to watch it.
Like, did I even watch season 3? I don't remember. Is that what we did that episode on?
Which one?
The lost episode?
No, it was like 1 and 2 or something.
Oh, it was 2? Okay. Wasn't when 3 came out? Anyway.
No. Unfortunately, it's like completely gone into the ether.
I think that's for the best. I think I was drunk during that episode.
I love that for you.
I was drinking. Anyway, yeah, I mean, those are my thoughts on Mr. Mayor. It was fun.
Yeah.
I'm sad to see it go because, again, like, I do love, like, an average comedy.
Hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
It's whatever. It really wasn't all that great, so I can't, like, fully miss it. I can just be like, eh, c'est la vie.
Right. Yes. Like, same. I mean, I think it had a really good cast, and that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So, do we want to talk about Grand Crew? Sure. Or do you want to loop around to American Auto? How long do you want to delay that conversation?
No, we can talk about Grand Crew. This is one that definitely grew on me. Like, not that I didn't like it at first at all, but it didn't really grab me the first couple of episodes. I felt like, I don't know, I weirdly feel like we didn't really get to know the characters as well as, like, some of these other ensembles.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, like, everybody just kind of was, like, doing the group thing in this show for a while. And, like, once we kind of, like, figured out the characters, I felt like it had a good rhythm. But at first, I don't know, it just wasn't,
yeah. No, I can totally agree with that. It definitely didn't grab me either in the beginning. I just kind of kept watching it because I was like, well, I have nothing to watch within this time period block, so I might as well just keep on with this for a little bit.
I should say that most of these shows I watched, I call them my Hulu shows because they would pop up on my, like, I would watch one, and then every week it would be like, new for you, and I was like, okay, and then just watch them all because they would play. So,
yeah. No, I totally agree with that because it wasn't like an active seeking out of it. It just kind of became part of my routine. And I was like, yes. Oh, well, I've already watched like 4 of these. So I have to finish it at this point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once you watch like at least 2 episodes of a show, it's kind of like Pringles where you're like, well, I kind of have to finish this.
I mean, I don't always. So, but I did finish all of these because I can
I usually do with the half-hour ones because it's not as much of a commitment.
Yeah, that's true. The half-hour ones are, like, an easy an easy watch. But, yeah, I liked Grand Crew. Definitely by the end of the season, I felt like, again, like, I just, it didn't really, the characters didn't really hit at first. I mean, except for Nicole Byer, who I feel like is just playing Nicole Byer.
Yeah.
She's just kind of playing herself. Which I can get behind. I don't think she's any, like, amazing actress. I think she's just a really funny person and, like,
yeah,
a good actress. But she's not trying to, like, transform herself, you know. And I really just appreciate seeing her get a paycheck. And I'll support that.
I support anyone getting a paycheck for doing basically just playing themselves. A lot of comedians do that.
Exactly.
I don't know who I was talking about the other day where we're talking about, like, it's crazy. They're literally just getting paid to be themselves. I'm like, yeah, That's literally all of Pete Davidson's acting roles, they are paying him to be himself. Yeah. It is crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's who I was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gross.
But no, I agree with, like, not really getting to know the characters all that much. We really kind of, we learn more about, like, their situations than we do about them per se. Like, we know the one girl is, like, a divorcee. She has a crush on the one friend, and now
but that's all later. Like, that's, like, later in the season. Like, although I did love how they, like, wasn't she, like, they randomly met her and then they just became friends with her?
Yeah.
That was so funny.
It's really random that they're even friends.
Yeah. She was, like, the one guy was, the guy who plays Nicole Byer's brother was, like, stalking her or whatever, because he was like, oh, I think it's fate that we met. And then she just, like, becomes friends with Nicole and then works at the bar.
Yeah, she's like, you're my soulmate. Or my friendship soulmate. And I'm like, that's funny. And I support that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love a good female friendship. Yeah, this was also one where the theme song I loved. By the end, I was like, yes, this theme song is so good.
Because it makes no sense.
It's so good, though.
I was
what do you
like,
mean
why?
It makes no sense?
I was like, why this theme song? Like, I don't know what I was expecting. I don't know why I'm kind of expecting something along the lines of old, I guess, 90s sitcoms or whatever, where they were, like, very iconic. Like, I know I was complaining, because me and a friend of ours were watching, we're casually watching What I Like About You on HBO Max, because it's on there. And where every time the theme song comes on, they have, like, this generic version that they have to use because they lost, like, the music licensing rights or whatever for, like, you know, long-term distribution, because no one ever thought streaming would be a thing.
Oh, no. That's so sad.
It's really funny. I know. It's terrible. Because, so, you know, the original one is that cover of What I Like About You.
Yeah, yeah.
By Lilix. Yeah, they don't have that. It's some weird generic thing. It's like, just wanna say life wouldn't be the same without you. It's awful. Terrible.
Okay, but I feel like you're gonna get Stockholm Syndrome for it and just, like, start listening to it, like, in your car.
Oh, no, I cannot skip it fast enough. It's like right now where, like, I'm on season 7 of my Degrassi rewatch.
Oh, my God.
And, like, this season and the last season, season 6, are the ones where they don't have, like, any singing. It's just that weird instrumental. And it's so bad, I'm like, I cannot push the button fast enough.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I do hate that. That was not a good choice.
And it's funny because it's so much louder than, like, the theme song ever was. Because it's like, boom, at the beginning, it's like, dung. I'm like, is Degrassi the afterlife? Why?
That would be a great ending to Degrassi. They're like, this is actually purgatory.
It's like,
this is, like, the Lost Island.
What was that old 80s or 70s show? I only know about this because, you know, VH1 had that I Love the 80s show or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they were talking about, what was it, St. Elmo's Hospital or something like that. And they were like,
St. Elmo's Fire?
No, I don't know. Whatever the show was. And they were like, it was about a hospital. Oh. No, this is like a TV show about a hospital. Oh. And they said, like, that at the end of the series finale, the hospital was just, like, inside of a snow globe. And it was, like, some, like, a child's imagination or something. And I'm like, that's ridiculous.
What?
But I would love if they did that with Grey's Anatomy. It's actually...
Oh, that would definitely... I mean, I would not question that.
At the end of the series, slightly. It's literally just Meredith in a wheelchair with Alzheimer's. And it's all just shit in her mind. And I'm like, slay. I'm like, slay, wig, gag, boots.
I'd believe that because that show is wild and it has been going on for like 15 years.
Yeah, it's on season 18 right now.
That is so crazy. I mean, Shonda, get that paycheck, you know what I'm saying?
I'm pretty sure the season finale is tomorrow, and they've already been renewed for season 19, so.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I
know.
I still think that the saddest thing that we never got was a crossover of Grey's Anatomy and Supernatural. They're both in these long-ass seasons. It would have been so nice just to have a crazy-ass crossover.
I think that would have been amazing. I think the CW should cross over all their shows for just no fucking reason.
I know.
Just do it. You're all in the same fucking studio lot. Like, just go on over to the other.
Just pull a, part. What was it? The Suite Life on Deck? Yeah. Or That's So Suite Life on Deck?
Was that what it was?
Or something.
Yeah, what was, oh yeah. Wasn't Hannah Montana also on Suite Life at some point?
Oh, maybe that's what it was. It was the That's So Suite Life on Deck with Hannah Montana.
Definitely what it was called. Yeah. Anyway, Graham.
Yeah, we got a little off base on that one, but yeah.
In general, I'm glad it got renewed.
Oh, did it?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Are you not up on your Nicole Byer news?
Oh, no.
I am, because I'm obsessed with her. It's fine. Yeah, she's shared on her Instagram that it got renewed, so.
Oh, slay.
Why
do I keep saying slay unironically?
I don't know. Don't know where that's coming from. But fun trivia fact, this guy in my background and another guy who I think is a writer on Grand Crew, they have a podcast where they're watching Gossip Girl. And they're
the original?
Yes. They're going through each episode and watching it. Because I think it's him. I don't remember his name, but the actor. He loves the show. And he and the writer, the writer is watching it for the first time. So they're watching it together and then talking about it each episode. It's... I listened to the first couple of episodes. It's very entertaining.
Wow. I guess it's really crazy when people... Because I was thinking, I'm like, well, you know, we do that, but we do that all the time. But I guess if you're like a straight guy, no one's going to expect you to watch Gossip Girl.
Oh, yeah. No, I was like two like heterosexual, like adult black men. I was like, that is not anybody I would ever expect to watch or like this show. But yeah, fun facts.
We love a fun fact.
Yeah, and I know that because he was on Nicole's podcast. Yay.
Number one podcast stan, Grace Wolpe.
I think I regularly listen to three of her podcasts. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't really listen to Why Don't You Date Me as much anymore.
Yeah, actually, that one I don't, like, I don't know. I felt like...
That one I don't like. Then which ones are you listening to, then?
No, I do like that one. I just don't listen to it as much anymore. I listen to Best Friends, which is her and Sasha Zameda. And she has the other one with Lauren Lapkus, which is Newcomers, where they watch, like, big movie franchises that they've never seen before, like Star Wars, and they're doing Marvel right now. Yeah, it's very funny. They like don't know anything about these like huge franchises, and then they're like being forced to watch all the movies, and they're just like, "We hate this." It's so funny.
Yes, forced.
So, well, you know, they're getting a paycheck, but anyway. Anyway.
So moving on to American Auto.
This is a podcast about podcasts now. Yeah, American Auto. Yeah, you know.
I'm very disappointed in American Auto. I expected it to be funnier considering the cast. Because I was like, oh, this is a pretty good cast.
Yeah.
And what... The funniest episode was, like, the pilot, like, with the racist car. That was the funniest thing.
That was funny.
Just the concept was really funny. I guess also the other one with, like, the serial killer who was using their car was funny as well.
I liked the one where they were shooting the commercial and they had to, like, they were worried that, like, oh, we don't have a gay couple, but then they made a gay couple and they were like, oh, does it read as a gay couple? Like, it was very, like...
Oh, yeah.
I did okay. think that was very, like, I was like, this is looking probably back. Exactly what goes on when they make these bullshit commercials where they're, like, trying to appeal to diversity.
Yeah. All the diverse. Let's butcher up.
That was so funny. And then they had the other girl still there, so she's just in the back of the car. Like,
Why are there four adult women in this car?
Yeah, I also was disappointed. I'm very upset that NBC canceled Superstore and then greenlit this. Like, I was like, why? Like, I don't know.
Well, there was no show without Amy.
I mean, it was fine, though. Like, it wasn't bad. I don't
yeah,
know.
It could have just been, like, when Steve Carell left The Office. I mean,
yeah, that went on for, like, three more seasons. No, I rewatched Superstore recently, actually.
Oh, okay. How was it?
It's so good. Like, it holds up so well. And I think, like, what's kind of upsetting about, like, and not to, like, compare them too much. I know it's just the same creator, like, but, like, Superstore was all about, like, the people on the floor and, like, you know, the struggles of, like, dealing with a corporation that doesn't give a shit about you and, like, all this stuff, right? They did all that, like, union stuff. And then American Auto is just like, yeah, we're...
The corporation.
Yeah, it's like, we're executives. It's like, okay. Like, and I felt like they were trying to, like, make commentary on it, but it just, like, I was like, we still are sympathizing with these characters who are, like, kind of shitty people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
And then they, like, kind of made the everyman, like... one of them.
Right. And again, like, I feel like they were trying to say something with that. And it's just, like, it wasn't hitting. Like, that's kind of what I feel. Is, like, I'm, like, I kind of get what you're going for here. But it's just, like, not hitting. I don't know.
No, I actually agree with that.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why I don't like the show. Well, not only is it not as funny as Superstore, but, you know. They can't all be gems. I'll give you that. They can't all be gems. But I agree with, like, the whole you're, like, meant to empathize with these executives that are kind of doing, like, really bad, horrible things to not only the environment, but, like, socially as well. And then, yeah. Like, the girl who, I guess, tries to pretend to give a crap, like, also right. isn't doing anything.
Right.
And is also trying to, like, pseudo-absorb that, like, the guy that she was sleeping with
right.
into the fold as well. It's kind of weird. I don't know. It's a very weird commentary for it to come from that specific creator who also made Superstore, who was making, like, a very specific commentary with Superstore.
Yep. Yep. And I feel like if it had gone a different direction where it was, like, oh, we're executives, but, like, we're actually gonna try to make change or whatever it was. Like, I feel like you could have gone that direction with it. I also, why are they running a car company? Like, I just, why? I guess he just likes cars, the guy? I don't know. I was just like, I don't get this.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can guess.
Or maybe because, like, it's, like, the American industry. I don't know. It just, like, it felt like an odd choice to me.
I think it's supposed to be, like, because America and the automotive industry were, like, so hand-in-hand for, yeah. like, such a... It was, like, a very quintessential American thing. Like, you worked at the auto shop, or you worked at the auto factory.
Yeah.
I guess that's what they do. Like, I guess that's what the black guy was doing initially. He, like, worked on the floor of,
he
like
was an
the,
engineer. Yeah,
yeah, he made the actual cars and stuff like yeah. that. So because that was such a big industry in America, I guess he wanted to kind of do a throwback and also appeal to, I want to say, like, middle America. Because, I mean, at least with Superstore, it did have, like, this widespread middle America appeal just because, you know, Superstores are all over the place, but, like, predominantly, like, in the flat parts, I feel. Because isn't that where it, like, originated? Where, I feel like it did.
Where what originated?
Walmart.
Yeah.
Like.
Right? It's, like, the Midwest somewhere.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's where they were going with it, but I'm like, meh.
Weirdly, my mom and I were just talking about where the Walmart headquarters were, because I feel like she was telling me how the CEO created Walmart, and I was like, oh, okay. We were looking it up. But actually, whilst I was rewatching Superstore, I went on a whole journey, because I was like, where is this set? Because it's in Missouri, and they call the store the Ozark Highlands store. But there is no Ozark Highlands in Missouri. And I literally went insane. But then they mention a bunch of other towns that are real. So I, like, went on this journey. And then I finally, on IMDb, one of the trivia facts was like, oh, this isn't a real place.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's a fictional town.
And I was
nine times out of ten, it's a fictional place.
Full on went on, like, a journey. Anyway. Yeah, I think I'm just... American Auto just kind of fell flat to me. I mean, I will watch it if it comes back.
I mean, it might. I mean, I have a feeling that they're just going to give it a second go. Because, I mean, at least with Mr. Mayor, they gave it two seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, it is Ted Danson, so, you know, there's a little... he carries a bit of weight on that, but...
No, and I really like Anna... Anna Gasteyer?
Oh, the closer lady?
Yeah. Just, I really like her as the CEO role. I think she's, like, so perfect in that role. I think everybody else is just missing the mark a little bit.
Oh, my God. What is her name? It's, like, Amy...
No, it's Anna. It's Anna... Gasteyer or something like that. Gasteyer.
No. Oh, well, I'm thinking of Holly Hunter.
Oh, I'm talking about American Auto, not Mr. Mayor.
Oh, my bad. I was thinking about Mr. Mayor. Okay, so wait. American Auto. No,
I love Holly Hunter as well. And I thought she was great on Mr. Mayor. But
oh, yeah. It's Anna Gasteyer. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. I do. I think she's great. Like, she plays that role really well. And I think that, like, one of the things that's kind of missing on American Auto is, like, the cast to me doesn't feel genuine. They don't feel, like, I don't know, they don't feel seasoned in a way. I don't know. It's, like, hard to explain.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I get what you mean. But in contrast to that, Abbott Elementary, just to segue over, sure. For that to be a freshman show, it performed very well. It's now becoming...
Oh, it was great. I almost have no notes.
Yeah, it's definitely it's becoming, like, ABC's new flagship series that they want to, that they're giving the, I guess it's the Wednesday 9 o'clock slot or something like that. Mm. Maybe it was 8. It's whenever Modern Family used to come on.
Mm.
Which is, like, I guess their prime time or their prime comedy slot.
Sure. It's like Sundays at 9 for HBO.
Yeah.
Or 10 or whatever it is. Yeah, no, I'm really impressed with Abbott. I almost can't believe this is its first season. Like, it felt, like, really just well done. In a way that, like, a lot of shows don't hit on their first season. So.
I agree. It definitely was a grower for me because I didn't... It's not like I disliked it at first. I was just kind of like, I didn't laugh as much as I expected to at the very beginning.
Gotcha.
But as the show continued, I was just like, oh, no, I love this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so
I
it just
think,
had to build.
I think the pilot was good. I think we didn't, like... It didn't hit its stride until a couple episodes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, this is kind of the opposite of what I was talking about with Grand Crew. Like, I felt like we knew who the characters were. Now, of course, it's a comedy, so it's like they don't have to have layers right away. But, like, you kind of have to, like, know who everybody is from the pilot. Like, at least your core people. You know, you have to, like, have their little descriptors, like, right away.
Right.
Which I felt like this show did really well. So then the rest of it can just be the comedy, and then we can get to the layers of the characters later.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think what it is this show did a very good job, or Abbott Elementary did a very good job of introducing all of the individualistic characters and their personalities better than Grand Crew, which kind of just presented them very well as a group.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because Abbott Elementary, like, I get that these are co-workers, but I'm like, I'm not immediately like, oh yeah, all these people are friends. They hang out with each other. It's like, no, no, no. These are obviously, like, co-workers, yeah. And these are different, like, co-worker personalities that you intermingle with.
Yeah.
And I think that was something that they wanted to hammer home in, like, the relatability aspect of it.
Yeah, and it also, like, despite it being, like, a broader comedy, like, it feels like a very real, you know, situation. Like, I'm like, this could be any school in Philly.
Yeah.
You know, like, it truly could. And I know that a lot of that comes from, like, Quinta Brunson, like, this is where she grew up. She's, like, writing about kind of her own experiences. So I feel like...
Yeah, her mom is a teacher, I believe. So a lot of this is also, I think, directly her experiences also as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it does have that quality of just, like, being in the know, you know?
Oh, totally. No, it feels very realistic in a way that I'm just like, I'm not a teacher, but I'm like, I feel like I know what they're what they're going through. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the first season. I almost have no notes. I really enjoyed everything about it.
Yeah, what I really liked is, I liked that, what's her face? The nanny from fucking The Parent Trap. I liked that she was there because I hadn't seen her in a minute.
Which one is that?
She's the Jersey teacher. She's not Jersey. She's very Philly, but she comes off like that general
the white
vibe,
lady,
like
the Italian lady. Yeah. Okay. Right. I don't remember her from The Parent Trap.
Yeah, she was
in that?
She was the American girl's nanny.
Oh. Okay. 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 Yeah. 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 Okay. It has been a minute since I've seen that movie.
Oh, I remember it clear as day, as if it were yesterday.
People our age have such a profound connection with that movie that I feel like I missed very hard.
I don't know, it just, like, hit all the things that I wish I had. I'm like, a twin, a secret family, a secret...
Right, who's, like, super rich.
Sleepaway camp where you get to do prank wars. Piercing your ear at sleepaway camp. You know, it really was, like, just a lot of those fun little things that you're, like, things that you wish you could do as a kid, but you can't. Because your parents are strict.
Right. And you're not a twin.
Exactly. Or white, or have a lot of money.
Right.
Slash a winery that will give you generational wealth. So, yeah. I can't remember what the mom did, but I think she was, like, very well off. She was just, like, a businesswoman. I don't know what
she
did, but she made money.
Wasn't she a designer?
Something like that.
Yeah, she, like, I forget what it was. But she was, like, some sort of, not, like, really, like, an art, but, like, more in the arts. Like, she was a designer of something.
Again, generational wealth. Just.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed her character. I love a mean older lady. Love it. I loved her.
Yeah.
Her and Barbara. Like, they were just so fucking funny together. And the fact that, like, they're the only two that actually like each other within the, like, you can tell they're just, like, you're the only person that doesn't put up with the bullshit. Because it's, like, it's true. You have that one friend at work that you're just, like, you know. Everyone else here is crazy.
You just understand. No, I love that they made the, well, I have no idea what the fuck his name is, but the white guy.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, he's gay.
And I then did his not catch that he was gay.
And then his boyfriend being the guy from, well, so we're between things that I'm watching right now. But that just means that they have good agents and good on them.
No, I did not realize that the white guy was gay. And then, I don't know. I feel like they, like, casually mentioned it. Like, he said something. Oh, bless you. Like, they, she said something where she was like, oh, I have a guy I'll set you up with. And I was like, wait, when did they establish that he was gay? But I guess, you know. It's great.
It was a secret. Also, Quinta's boyfriend being Zach Fox. Although I'm sure you don't know who Zach Fox is.
I don't. But I'm happy for you.
He's an internet rapper.
Oh, okay. I could, like, tell he was, like, someone. Like, I was like, okay, they clearly got this guy because he's, like, a rapper, but he's also kind of making fun of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a comedian rapper.
Sure, sure. No, he was great, too. I guess my one note, I mean, I do have notes, but.
No, I do have notes.
I really hate that every, because when I was rewatching Superstore, I was thinking about this, and I was like, why is it every single time the trope is that the woman is in a bad relationship with a guy that she, like, can't seem to see or get out of, and then there's this other guy who's, like, perfect for her, but she's, like, in this bad relationship. I'm like, why is that the trope every single time? Like, what are we saying
here? I mean, that is a good question. But
why is it, like, are we saying women need to be rescued? Like, are we, is this really what we're doing?
Or maybe just get out of your bad relationship, girl.
But it's not that. It's always, like, be with this other man who's perfect. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess what it is the presentation of the message. Like, it would be different if it would be like, get out of this bad relationship because it's not good for you in general, versus, like, get very Taylor Swift, you belong with me. Like, get out of that relationship, get with me.
Right. Exactly. Because there's always that other guy. It's like the main love interest that you're like, well, obviously they're perfect for each other. And once she gets out of this bad relationship, she's going to be with him. Not immediately, which is always how the trope goes too. She always breaks up with the bad guy. Then there's a period, there's a waiting period. And most of the time, the perfect guy is dating somebody else. It's always that, like, oh, the timing was wrong. Anyway, while I was watching Superstore, I was like, wow, this is literally the same trope that we see.
All the time.
All the time. And I would like to see less of it. Like, come up with something new, writers. How about that?
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that. But again, it all comes down to just the presentation of it. Because had it been presented a different way, I feel like it would be received differently as well.
No, totally. Yeah. I agree. It's not necessarily... yeah, it's not necessarily the trope itself. It's just, like, the way it's being presented and the fact that we see it constantly. It's, like, the same pattern every time.
Speaking of something we see constantly, which we don't really for this. How about that young, drunk female?
Single drunk female?
Yeah, that's what it was. Young, drunk female.
Yeah, I also really enjoyed that one.
That's interesting. Well, I ended up liking it more as I watched it. I feel like I got Stockholm Syndrome with it, really, if I'm being honest. Because I didn't care for it at first. I was just like, interesting. Well.
I just really like her, and I think I was maybe just, like, in
Yeah, but she's playing the exact same character that she was playing on The Mick.
I know, but I don't care. She can do whatever she wants.
Okay.
She's not, though. Like, I mean, yeah, kind of, I guess. She's playing, like, a dirtbag girl, but, like, that's just kind of her, like, I don't know, her niche, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think she's playing the same exact character. I think she's playing into a niche that the actress plays really well, if that makes sense.
No, yeah. I get that, and I can agree with that. It's just the characters are quite similar.
Well, okay. I mean, there's plenty of actors that do that. I don't know what your problem is.
I don't have a problem. I just was pointing out a fact. This is a fact. It's like the sky is blue. She's playing the same character as was on this other show. These are facts.
I don't think it's the same character, but yeah.
It's literally that character if she just went off to college. Like, we just follow that character after college.
Well, and if she wasn't, like, insanely rich and, like,
yeah,
full of herself. It's definitely, I mean, the show is definitely, like, a more of a dramedy than these other shows that we're talking about as well. Like, it's not a full-on comedy.
Yeah.
It's definitely more of, like, a character piece, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially with the way that we watch her character go through the step. Well, we didn't watch her go through all the steps, actually. We kind of like fast forward, because honestly, I'm a little grateful for that, because if we had to watch her go through all the steps, I think we would not have been as
well. I think they wanted to avoid that whole like going through the steps. I think it was more like her personal journey. Yeah.
Journey, yeah. Rather than a very after school special. Yeah, like,
exactly.
You have to make amends.
Yeah. Like, this is this part and this is this part. It's like, we know what alcoholism is. Thanks. Like, we've all had uncles. Like, all right. But like, no, she, I don't know. I just really liked where the season went as it went on, if that makes sense. Like, I kind of agree with you that it wasn't like super into it when it first started, but I was along for the ride. And then I liked, like, the whole thing with her, like, ex-friend who was getting married. Like, I really liked how that story progressed, and I was actually really surprised at the way, like, I was like, oh, she's definitely gonna have a relapse. Like, that's definitely gonna happen. But it never happened.
Yeah. Which is a little surprising. Because you kind of are just expecting it at some point. I feel like if the show gets renewed, that it will, it feels like an inevitability type episode, just so that they can show it.
Well, because they kept doing that counter that was like this many days. And then yeah. I was like, oh, we're definitely gonna get to like this penultimate episode and it's gonna be like 0 days or whatever. But instead the guy had the relapse.
I could see that being a penultimate for season two if it gets a second season. But yeah, I actually found it funny I found it interesting that they showed it in that regard of him relapsing, but it made me think about his character throughout the show after that. Like, once I saw him do the drink, I was like, wait a minute. Has he been drunk this whole time and I've just not been paying attention?
Right. Was that what they were trying to say?
I think so. Like, how you can, like, sometimes they'll just sneak it by you or whatever. And I'm like,
I see. Yeah.
But I guess, in turn, it's, I don't know. At that point, I'm just like, in turn, does he really have a problem? I mean, it seems to be functioning, all right. Okay. I don't know what they were trying to say with that, because I don't know, then it becomes like that weird spot where you're like, does this person really have a problem, or are we just viewing all, like, if you drink at all as a problem? Like, once you've become like a belligerent person at one point. They're like, now you can't drink anymore.
Mm-hmm. So I get what you're saying. And I totally, because this was on Freeform, as you pointed out to me before we began recording.
I did.
I totally expected it to be a very, what's the right word? Like, superficial view of alcoholism, and I did not feel that. Like, I felt that it was a pretty, like, multifaceted perspective. I don't know. I didn't feel like I was being preached to. Do you know what I mean?
Right. The only thing is, like, I think it was episode 2 or 3, at one point when her boss also was an alcoholic, I was like, damn, how many people in this town?
Well, isn't it Boston? Like, half
the, or something. And I'm like, damn, half the town is drunk.
Have you been to Boston? I mean.
No, I don't want to go there. Why would I ever want to go to Boston? I mean, you shouldn't,
but I'm just saying.
Like, what are the draws of Boston? Isn't there just, like, one Ivy League school there?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like Boston. I'm just saying there are a lot of drunks there. If this show were to be set anywhere.
My question is just, what is the draw of Boston?
It's a city. I don't know. It's like if you live up there, then you want to move to a city, you move to Boston.
I know, but why are people like, I want to stay here? Like,
I don't know. I went there once and it was cold and I was like, never again. No thanks, John Adams, or whoever lived here, I forget.
John Adams.
Remember that musical?
No thanks, JFK. Just calls out random presidents.
Grover Cleveland. See you later. Forget about it, Harry S. Truman.
Yeah, I think you know more presidents than I do.
I'm just going to say, like, Taft. Continue. Yeah, William, that's one. William Taft.
No, thanks, Mr. Taft.
I feel like I was, when I was younger in school, they, like, really made a big deal out of memorizing all the presidents, like, a lot. And I feel like other people did not have this experience.
No, I probably did and then completely forgot about it or blocked it out of my memory. Like, I've done with a lot of things, apparently, where I'm just like, oh, I don't need that.
Whoop, there it goes. Time to watch more television.
I just delete full memories. I'm like, I don't need that.
Martin Van Buren. Anyway. No, I mean, okay, what did you think of the love interest, like the guy? Because I didn't necessarily dislike his character. I was just like, why are we supposed to care about him when she's literally bi on this show and that's all I care about?
Do you mean the black guy or the ex?
Yeah, yeah. No, the black guy. The main love interest, the guy.
I thought it was interesting that they didn't, like, steer her towards, like, a female character at one point. Because it seemed like they were kind of going in that direction. Or at least I expected them to go in that direction and they didn't. And then, you know, like, Hacks does the opposite. It's like, oh, you want that? Here we go.
Oh, we're going to talk about Hacks.
Oh, no. I don't think we should. That should be its own episode. But in general, I feel like I've been watching other shows that have had, like, I'll say sapphic women in them, that they're bisexual, but they have definitely been leaning them more towards, like, their sapphic relationships rather than their heterosexual ones. So I was just like, interesting note, but that just means that there is one queer woman in that room who was really gunning for this.
I guess so. I mean, yeah, it's good that we're seeing the trend more, I guess. I think my main thing with single drunk female is just that, like, she had so much more interesting relationships with the female characters. Like, I was like, there's so much, like, unresolved tension between her and the ex-friend and, like, her and the, what is she called? Like, the mentor, her, or not mentor, her sponsor.
Oh, her, Her lesbian mentor.
The lesbian sponsor.
I don't know. She reminds me of someone else from some other show, but I cannot put my finger on it. I'm like, I don't know who it
is. From another show?
Yes. She just like reminds me of another character from another show. And I'm like, I don't know whomst it is.
I've definitely seen just that actress very, like, in other things.
Yeah. I just mean like that kind of power lesbian, I'm a little unfazed by everything.
Right.
And I'm like, I've seen this character on another show recently. And I was like, we need more of these. And then here it came.
We need more of these. Can I have 5 more of these little blonde bitches?
Oh, maybe it was when I was watching Dollface. But she's not a... Kat Dennings boss on there. She's not a lesbian. But she has the exact same energy of being like, I am unfazed by everything.
I have yet to watch Dollface.
Oh, well, that got canceled too. Oh, riff.
Sorry, another one down for Kat Dennings. Yeah, I just felt like she, like, her relationships with all the female characters were just, like, far more interesting. And I guess they, like, needed a male character to round it all out. They're like, here you go.
Yeah, I'm like, well, y'all have the ex-boyfriend and... Honestly, y'all need to fight for me to understand why either of these women are interested.
Oh my god, like, literally. He was like, he was just, no.
The most milquetoast person you could possibly meet. And I'm just like, what is the appeal? And it was funny because I think, was it the mom or someone who said that? She was saying like, oh, I was actually surprised that you guys even started dating. Because she was like, you were always trying to tell her like why he wasn't good for what's her face. Or maybe that. Was that what she was doing? I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up in my head. But that does always seem to be the case, isn't it? They're always like, you were the driving wedge that was trying to get in between the relationship. Yeah. Now you're dating? And I'm like...
No, I am. I mean, I hope this one gets renewed. I'll definitely watch a season 2.
I agree. I mean, at this point, again, I have Stockholm Syndrome, so I'm just going to keep watching. Plus, I did like her character on The Mick, so it's not like I have a problem with that. I just thought it was funny because I'm like, this is literally if she just came back after college and was a raging alcoholic. I love The Mick.
Pour one out. R.I.P. The Mick, man. That was a good one.
Another one for the lost homies.
No, when I first watched The Mick, I literally looked her up to check on her age because she was playing like 17 on The Mick, and I was like, please tell me she is not actually that age. Because I was,
she did not come off that
I know
age.
But I was like, I just had to make sure because I was like so attracted to her, and then she turns out she's actually a year older than me, and she is from New Jersey, so
in another
there
life.
You go.
In another life, you could have been the power lesbian who is unfazed by everything.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, so that's my thoughts on
that. Was there another one? I feel like there was another
How
show.
I Met Your Father. You forgot.
Right. Why do I keep forgetting about it. Why? Because it was forgettable.
I literally had to go back through our texts for like 5 whole minutes before I remembered what it was that we wanted to talk about.
Again, I keep forgetting about it because it was forgettable.
Okay. This was the worst show that I have watched in the last couple of years, hands down.
Like, it's not
it's
good.
It's so bad. It's terrible. And honestly, like, I watched the pilot of it and I was like, wait, was How I Met Your Mother actually a good show or did it just have mass appeal? So I went back and I watched almost the entirety of How I Met Your Mother. I think I made it pretty far into season 8, but I did not finish it.
I mean, it's a pretty funny show. I thought it was good.
It is. And it held up a lot more than I thought it would. Like, I was like, okay, this is definitely of its time. Like, I was like, this is not, this formula would not have aired today, I don't think. But, and like, a lot of the jokes that, like, Neil Patrick Harris makes, like, as Barney. I was like, these would not fly. but, no, it holds up as far as, like, a comedy goes. I was like, it was very, very, like, inventive and clever with the way that it, like, used the narrative of, like, you know, him telling the kids, like, the story. Like, it, I don't know. I was just like, it's not, like, any great, amazing television, but, like, it held up pretty well. Anyway, I guess that show was so good that people were like, yes, we'll approve this terrible spinoff for no reason.
Yeah, and what the sad part about it is they thought that, hey, if we just, like, gender bend this, this will be, it'll give us the appeal that we couldn't, like, hit before with just marketing wise. And my issue with the show is I think this format of sitcoms is dead. And I mean, this may be just, I may be alone on this island. I don't think I am, but this particular style of sitcom just doesn't work anymore. Like,
laugh track?
It kind of, yeah, but also just, like, the multicam because of the way that it's set up. It's, like, this, I don't know if you've seen Call Me Cat on Fox. I mean, that's in its second season or whatever right now. But it's also very similar with just, like, the multicam laugh track or live studio audience type thing. And I'm, like, this just doesn't work anymore because of, like, the style of humor that it has to be. It has to be, like, kind of so widespread or so broad that it kind of misses. It's not funny or, like, smart anymore, like, how people are. I would say that people like their comedy now. They like it kind of smart because we've been spoiled with shows like, you know, 30 Rock and I will say Big Bang Theory. I'm not a huge fan, but that was a thing.
That was a laugh and track, too.
That was this. Yeah, but that was a lot of smart humor. Well, and I mean,
it was,
that show went off the air.
It was faux smart humor, I would say. But I understand.
But again, that show went off the air several years ago.
I know what you're saying. And I don't know if I necessarily think that that style is dead or it's just, like, not where the trend is right now. And I think you're right that people, like, they want it quicker. Like, they want their comedies to be so much quicker. Like, when you're doing a laugh track or a live studio audience, you have to pause. You have to, like, have that whole, like, trained pause of, like, say your line. Laugh, 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 laugh. Say your next line, you know? And I feel like people just don't want to watch that anymore. They don't want to digest things like that anymore. And actually, something I found really interesting, when I was watching How I Met Your Mother, I was reading, like, the trivia facts and stuff, and they actually filmed everything and cut it, then showed it to a live audience and recorded the laugh track over what they had edited. So it was not any live, there were no live audiences because of the style. Yeah,
I could kind of tell.
Yeah, but I was like, okay, that makes, I don't know. I thought that was good use of a medium that's, like, going out, right? Like, that show aired in, like, 2005, I think, or around there. And I was like, obviously, like, we had seen so many laugh track sitcoms before, but, like, instead they were like, yeah, we're going to do this as though it's multicam, but we're not going to, like, we're going to edit it differently. It's going to be quicker. Like, that show is quick. Like, the way that it's edited, there are certain scenes that literally will just be like, da-da-da-da, okay, flashback, da-da-da-da, okay, flashback. Like, and I think that, I don't know. So I agree with you. I think that, like, it's just kind of awkward to watch that style anymore. That isn't something that, like, came out in the 90s or something, you know? Like, I can still watch Friends. Yeah. And be okay with that. But I don't want something new that's like that because comedy and television have changed.
Yeah. I fully
plus,
agree.
Plus, I just don't think that show's fucking funny. I think it's just
that
funny.
That too. But I think what's interesting is a show like Grand Crew, which seems like it would have, had this show been invented or come along several years mm-hmm. prior, I think it would have been one of those like live studio audience laugh track mm-hmm. shows. But I think that they do that. I want to say like that type of humor a lot better, because I would comparatively say like the things that they do on Grand Crew is kind of similar to what they're doing on How I Met Your
Father.
Yeah, How I Met Your Father. But the difference being just the format or the style of the show.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, I think that, like, I guess, like, using Grand Crew as, like, an example, like, that's kind of the newest form of sitcom. Like, it's, like, laugh track dialogue just without the laugh track.
Yeah. Which I'm glad everyone is kind of, I mean, Abbott is doing well, and I like that they're kind of, like, taking on that
documentary
style. Yeah, the mockumentary style or whatever, but, you know. I mean, I kind of still don't understand why they're doing the mockumentary style. Like, I don't have a problem with it, but it's kind of funny because I'm just like, what are you doing with this documentary?
Yeah. I think at this point, we all just accept that the mockumentary is just a style of television, and we don't really care if it's canon. You know what I mean? They do explain it in the first episode. They're like, oh, I brought this doc crew in because they're gonna like talk about the school and stuff like that.
I think it's supposedly to help them get funding, right? Or like, I think Ava said it was just to document how like awesome she is or something. Something self-absorbed.
So those are my thoughts on How I Met Your Father. I think it's terrible.
Love Hilary Duff. I support her in all her endeavors.
I'm so upset. Like, having her, and I mean, I also think it's interesting that they broke from the narration format to kind of show, so they did the opposite of what they did on How I Met Your Mother, which was they show the kids and it's just the guy narrating. And now they're not showing the kid and they're just showing Kim Cattrall talking.
Yeah, I love that she's doing that versus doing the Sex and the City reboot.
Listen, she has her reasons. I don't know what they are because I didn't read up on all that drama, but
it's funny and I'll take it.
I'm just gonna say
I'm mad that we got this instead of the Lizzie McGuire reboot. I would have preferred that.
I feel like there are a lot of reboots that could have happened before. All that being said, who do you think the father is?
I'm hoping it's not the white friend because that's just annoying. I have a feeling it's like an ethnic man, mm-hmm. but
and that's why they're not showing the kid because he's mixed and they don't want to reveal it.
Do you know who I actually think it is? I think it's probably the is he Indian? I feel like he is. The Indian.
I have the same exact theory. I feel like they're going to try to do that. It's the one you least expect, but I don't think she's going to end up with him. I think she's going to end up with the white guy, not Josh Peck, the white friend. But I feel like the father, they're going to try to be like, it's the one you least expect. Oh, it was like a drunken night or something like that.
Either that or she's going to be like his second marriage and his first marriage failed because of blah, blah,
okay,
blah.
Okay, that relationship, him and, oh my God, the girl, she is so, I'm like, how did they get this actor? Like, is she fresh out of, like, NYU? Like, I was just like, who is this girl? She's terrible.
I just thought the whole time, I'm like, this relationship is doomed and it's going to explode.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst. Every relationship on that show, I'm just like, this is bad. I don't even like the lesbian character. I think she's so unlikable. I'm like, they're trying to make her so quirky and, like, I don't know, dorky, like, adorkable, and I want to punch her. And, oh, my God, the friend who works in fashion, and she's like, her outfits are garbage.
I know, it's funny because iCarly's friend on the reboot or whatever, she's a stylist or something, and she wears, well, her outfits are fine, but then I'll see, like, some that she'll style for other people on the show, and I'm like, these are terrible. How are you being hired as a stylist? This is god-awful.
I do love that, like, when a character in canon has a job that, like, the writers or set dressers, like, can't execute well, and you're just like, how do they have this job? It's like, it's so funny every time. I'm like, you didn't do any research on like them?
Yeah, it's kind of like on Will and Grace, where she always seemed like she was hard up for design jobs, but I'm just like, how do you afford this space?
Oh my god, that's her office? I know. I'm like, you know that's like a prime spot in Manhattan. It's this like beautiful little loft. Like,
I love when TV stuff doesn't make sense in real life.
And we just, you know, we let them get away with it. I feel like I let comedies get away with it so much more than I let like serious shows get away with it. Because I'm like, if it's a drama, like, I don't know. I feel like it should be backed up. But like with reason. But comedies, I mean, I still notice it and it still bothers me, but I feel like comedies, I'm like, well, all right.
Yeah, like they gotta put the money somewhere, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, I guess those are our thoughts on sitcoms. I feel like there was another one, but it's fine.
Oh, Pivoting.
Oh, right. You didn't like
it. I did not care for it.
It was very mediocre. I just kept watching it because I got Stockholm Syndrome and I had nothing to watch on the Fridays.
I was just like it's supposed to be about like grief and like female friendship, and I was just like, none of this is like good.
The cast was kind of bananas, though.
Yeah, the cast was great. And that's why I was like, watched at least a couple episodes of it. Here's an example of a bisexual woman who we see date more women, right?
Oh, who Maggie Q's character?
Yeah. Also, what is her name? Jennifer Goodwin?
Yeah.
Fucking her entire plot is about her losing weight, and I'm like, she looks fantastic. I'm like, she looks great. Like, why is this entire thing about her, like, dropping 10 pounds and then she can have sex with her trainer? I'm like, this is highly offensive to women. Does anybody not know?
Yeah, but I think the whole, like, thing was supposed to be that she didn't actually have to lose the weight. It was just an excuse for her to see the trainer. So she was just being all like, oh, I really want to lose, like, this amount of weight, which was, like, I think she picked, like, some stupid unattainable weight that just, like, fluctuates back and forth.
Yeah.
On, like, normal people. I think it was, like, 5 pounds or something. It's, like, you can fluctuate between that on any given day.
I agree. I mean, I get that. But also, they were, like, I mean, is it the pilot? She's, like, trying to get into the jeans. And she's, like, if I can't get any of these jeans, I have to take a sexy picture. I'm, like, oh, this is bad. Like, why are we writing this in 2022? Like, I don't know. I just felt like it was too, like, and then there were shots of her, like, binge eating and stuff. And I was just like, she looks great. Like, stop. Like, please stop doing this to women who are, like, not a size 2. Like, please stop this. Just.
I think that was their attempt of being relatable. They're like, all girls can relate to this, and I'm like, I think that's a specific type of girl.
Every woman wants to lose 10 pounds. Kill yourself.
And that's that on Pivoting.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't care.
I don't even remember how the friend died in it. I just remember that she did die. And that the guy from the wheelchair on Superstore was on that as
the
a husband.
Guy from
and
the wheelchair.
Well, I distinctively remember, I don't remember his name. I distinctively remember it because I was like, oh my god, he can walk. It's like when I found out Artie can walk on Glee. God. I was like, oh, he's not really a paraplegic?
So fucking funny. No, it's funny. I've seen that actor in other things, but like, I feel like I so associate him now with Superstore that I am surprised when I see him walking. I'm like, oh, this poor guy. Like, sorry, you're Artie from Glee now.
I can't believe you could walk. That's kind of funny. I forgot
that you can stand upright. Yeah, anyway.
So, what should our next episode be?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like rewatching a lot of stuff right now. I don't think I'm watching anything new.
I mean, I am, but I kind of am not at the same time. I'm just rewatching.
Yeah.
I feel like nothing is standing out. Well, other than Hacks, I do think we should do that. Which, the season should be over within, like, a few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like this season as much, so.
Interesting.
You, like, opened your mouth. Yeah, we can definitely talk about it after it's over. I feel like we did also talk about Love is Blind.
Oh, yeah. Did you finish that? I mean, I did.
I did.
We watched... I know I watched Japan as well.
Oh, I definitely watched Japan. Loved Japan. I'm pretty sure I finished season two. Oh, you know what it was? I got to the end where it was, like, all the weddings, and I just, like, fast-forwarded.
I mean, I usually do that as well.
I was like, these people are boring. Yeah. So we'll decide.
I also watched The Ultimatum, but I like drama, so that's kind of why. Oh, it's just like a bunch of these couples come together, and they're just like, marry me, or we should break up.
Oh.
it's literally that, and they like recouple amongst themselves and like live as a married couple for like 3 weeks, okay. And then go back to their original couple for 3 weeks, and then they figure out whether they want to like be in a relationship or not. And it's funny because like some of them did break up, and I'm just like, there are some of you that I'm like, duh, y'all should not be married. Like,
I feel like that's most reality shows.
I know, but I find it so funny that the parents don't, like, stand up and be like, no, like, your original person you were going to marry, you should not. Like, you should.
Yeah.
No.
I do always find that surprising in, like, reality shows. Like, especially when they have the parents on. I'm like, my mom would, like, slap me on the face and be like, snap out of it. I guess some parents are just like... so detached. I don't know.
I guess. Or maybe they're trying to be, like, more... No. I feel like that's a
what?
Lot. Like, I was gonna say, maybe they're trying to be more, like, empathetic to their children's feelings, and I'm like, no. Only a minority of those parents would be doing that. Like, maybe, like, two or three of them. The rest of them would be like, you're stupid. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Which I think that's why they keep having these white people on, because they know that their parents would just be more like, oh, my kids are crazy. Whereas minorities, I feel like they would be more like, come on now.
Right.
But anyway, I digress. So yeah, one of those will be our next episode.
Some random topic that we decide between them.
It's true. We do that as well. Just whatever. It's just a whimsical whim.
That's great. Keeping us on our toes.
Keeping it real with Doug Banks. Keeping it real. That's just a jingle from my childhood. So anyway.
Great.
As always, thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.